In a moment, I will refer to the book of Ephesians. So if you want to find your place there as I begin the message. This week on Friday, I'm having a procedure done on my back. I've been having pain, and it's what they call a mild procedure. The risk factor is no more than an epidural. They just put me partially asleep and just make an incision on my back. And they say 24 hours, you go back to normal duty. And Lisa said, be sure and tell them what normal is for you. So they may not let me go back to normal duty in 24 hours. But it's that kind of simple procedure. But it's supposed to be quiet. I've had the shots. They lasted me 2 or 3 days. It just didn't work. So this is a procedure where they deal with the ligaments. They're not in the nerve canal and all of that. It's a pay grade above all of us for me to explain everything to you. So just know that that'll be on Friday, and it's simple enough that they say I should be back to normal in 24 hours. Okay, let's pray. Father, the group of songs that we have just finished were guided by your Spirit as we sang those songs. I could see so vividly how they tie into the message, to know that as we lean upon you, something different can happen in our lives. And we know that we had that opportunity because at Calvary, you were the one who made the way open for us. I just thank you, Father, for the songwriters that put to words the expression of our faith, and we can join in singing it together. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been looking at the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The paraclete is the word in Greek. Para means come alongside of. The comforter is another way it's translated. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the comforter. It's the helper. It's the one who comes alongside. It's the advocate. All of those are interchangeable words that use to describe this word in Greek. The paraclete. He comes alongside to help. He comes alongside to teach and to guide. But it's not a lecture student format. This is where you don't listen to someone at the lectern as you sit in the chair and you try to take notes so you can come back and repeat it to them. The teaching the Holy Spirit does is experiential. You work as you do it, as you learn how to do it. It is like Jesus saying to his disciples, come follow me and I'll make you to become. They learned how to be a disciple by following, not by getting a bunch of words and then trying to memorize them. He said, come and I will come and follow me. And in following me, I will make you fishers of men. Now the goal of the paraclete is to help us defeat that which is killing us and put on the new life in Christ. Now the paraclete is a power. He is an influence that works within us. There are things that help us on the outside, but the paraclete wants to help us on the inside. Hebrews 12, after chapter 11, and talking about all the great people of faith, he said, seeing then that you're encompassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, you also run the race that is set before you, as if the baton has been now handed to us. Now that's a power, that's an influence, that's an inspiration that circles around us, and we should draw some encouragement from that. But it's not a power within, which the paraclete is. On Tuesday of this week, when the sun came out bright, and I could feel the warmth of the sun, and the sun was bright, and I have hope of something besides snow and mud, all of a sudden, I was inspired. Man, I need to get a project done right now. I got all pumped up with the sun, but you know, the sun is not going to put the power in my hands. It might inspire me to go do something, but the power that's going to be in my hands to go dig up, you know, I've got, you know, if you live on a farm, you've always got gates that need to be rehung. I've got gates everywhere. And, you know, when it comes down to jamming that post hole digger, that's a power that comes from within. Now, John 14 says, the Spirit is not a cloud of witnesses around you. The Spirit, the Paraclete, the one who comes alongside, he dwells in you. He will be with you and he dwells in you. And in fact that he's in you, then he is an inside power that can come forward. Those witnesses can give us some inspiration to run the race, but they can't run the race for us. But the Paraclete, he will help us run the race. Now, the Paraclete doesn't stand on the sidelines. He's not a cheerleader. He's not one trying to just pump us up from the outside. He comes along. He is a power to be expressed in us and through us. Now, when you got a big pile of dirt to move, you can show up with a pick and a shovel and start hammering away on it. But the Holy Spirit, he's a machine. He's like a bulldozer. He's like a backhoe. And the best thing you can do is what? Get out of his way. Now, I want to be on the project. Well, maybe you ought to just give the backhoe driver snacks and plenty of drinks. And don't be out there in the middle of the project where you're picking a shovel saying, I got this. Well, you got to find out pretty soon that you ain't got it when there's a big pile of dirt to move. But the Holy Spirit is a power. When we say that the Spirit is a power, it's not a little boost. He's not just a little bit of extra energy. You know, they got these boost drinks. I've never drank one because I don't know what all that means in your body, so I just leave them to the side. But everybody got it. They want power that's in a can. Well, I like to think of the power that I have is in my body. You know, it's in my bustle. It's in my drive. It's in all that I am. Well, anyhow, how large, how big is this power of the Holy Spirit in us? Now, it's a power that is available, but it is seldom used. It is a power that is enormous. And yet we're out there with a pick and shovel trying to hammer away at life, trying to figure out how to defeat the devil and how to try to make some sense out of who we are and where we're going. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul prays a prayer. And he prays a prayer because people aren't doing this. Now you got to listen. He's praying that this will happen. It isn't happening. It should happen. And he's praying that the people that he's writing to will pray this prayer because it is life changing. What he talks about here. Look at chapter 1, verse 15. This is not a little boost. It's an out of this world kind of power. Verse 15, for this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. Now they got faith and they got love. What else do you need? He said, wait a minute. Verse 16, I do not cease. Wow, can you think about that? I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may do this for you. Now here's Paul's constant prayer for these people. For those that he loved. For people who have faith and love in Christ Jesus. He said, I pray that the Father of glory may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. That's the head part. I pray that he'll give you a wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Having the eyes of your what? Eyes of your heart enlightened. Remember the triad that I shared last week with you? Head, heart, hands. Paul's praying this prayer. I pray that you get a spirit of revelation in the knowledge of him. Having the eyes of your heart enlightened. Enlightened means what? It's what was not seen because it was dark has now got light on it, and you can see. He said, "I pray that the heart of your the eyes of your heart will be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He's called you." Knowing the hope to which He's called you is life changing. What are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saint? And here's the big verse in verse 10. And I pray that you'll know what is the immeasurable greatness of His power in us. Why does He use those doubled up adjectives? He could have just simply said, I pray that the eyes of your heart will recognize what power is in you. He said, now wait a minute. It's not just any old power. It's not just a little boost. I pray that you will understand what is the immeasurable. What does that mean? It's beyond being able to put a number on it. The immeasurable greatness of the power. And where is this power? It's in us. The immeasurable greatness of this power in us. Now, what we're saying here, God, through the scriptures, is sharing with us that there's a great power in you. An immeasurable power. A great power. A power that you don't even recognize. A power that you do not use. That is in you already. You don't have to do anything else to get it. It is yours because you have faith. He said, for this reason I've heard of your faith. If you have faith and you've been converted, then the power came in you at new birth. And so you've got this power, and it's in you whether you recognize it or not, whether you use it or not. And you think, wow, why didn't somebody tell me this? You know, I wasted a great portion of my life trying by raw bone and muscle, hanging on and doing what's right in God. Nobody came to me and said, hey, dude, there's a power in you. And that power is so great that it's immeasurable. It's a great power, not just a little power. And I would have said, wow, how then do I tap into this? I've already got it, and it's already there, and it's just been laying dormant. And that's the reason the scripture says that the spirit oftentimes is quenched, not set free. It's like the guy sitting on a dozer and you're out there digging with a pick and a shovel. And he said, you know, if you let me, I'll move that dirt. If you let me, we'll get this done real fast. And so he says in verse 10, I pray that you will know the immeasurable greatness of His power in you who believe according to the working of His great might. What great might work did He do? Verse 20. Which He accomplished in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. So what kind of power is in us? What we call this kind of power? Resurrection power. Now, is that any old power? Is that any old little bit of a power? You know, we can take a nuclear bomb and we can destroy everything for miles around. But can we take that which is dead and cause it to come alive? Our greatest energies and our greatest powers can't do that. We can destroy, but we cannot build. Now, when I remember, I was in the Baptist church here across town 50 years ago. I was asked to go preach a revival in a little town down to Lebanon, you know, down at Lebanon. And God brought this passage of scripture in front of me. At that time in my life, it was just after he had just pressed on me that I'm the good shepherd and the sheep hear my voice. And I was raised in a church discipline where I didn't know what that meant. I knew what the word said, but I didn't know what it meant and didn't know how to do it. Then he put this one in me. I was going down there to revive these folks, and I was the one getting revived. And I thought, I couldn't wrap my mind around what all the greatness of what was being said here, and unused, untapped power that could transform life. Now, it is a power that flows through us. Jesus said it this way, I'm the vine and you are the branch. apart from me, you can do nothing. But the power, when the power flows through you, it's a power that's not you. It's a power that's something besides you. And it's the power of my spirit. God said, when it flows through you, fruit to the glory of God can be accomplished. Wow. You know, with pick and shovel, I was hammering away trying to be good, trying to honor God, trying to do the very best I could do. And the guy sitting on the dozer inside of me was saying, if you'll let me, I'll help you. If you let me, I'll give you some strength that you don't have. And what you're trying to achieve, you can't achieve, but I can. Now, Isaiah says, you know, we get weary and tired. You know, when we struggle against our self-spirit, when we struggle against the designs of the devil, it can be a constant daily kind of struggle that we wrestle with. And Isaiah puts it very well when he says that even youth faint and grow weary, and young men fall exhausted. You know, I can remember now what it's like to have been young and now being old. And in my early days, I had an unending strength of energy. You could not work me into the ground no matter what we were doing. But, you know, Isaiah says, even youth get weary. And they faint and fall exhausted. But those who do what? Wait upon the Lord. Will renew their strength and they will mount up with wings like eagles. Now, in case you don't know, you can't fly. With your best effort, you can't fly. It requires a power that you do not possess. But in God, Isaiah said, the Spirit will lift you up. The Spirit will lift you up. That same power that raises the dead will lift you up and you will soar with wings like eagles. That's what God does. Now, think for just a moment. When you get into a tense situation, now some of you are so nice you never get in these places, but some of us know what it's like. When you get in a tense situation, when you get in a situation that has conflict surrounding it, and things are not going on real nicely, that's when you need desperately to not stay sunk down into the situation, but mount up with wings like eagles in order to look at the situation. Now, when I can be in an intense, conflicting situation, and I can be in a situation that I don't like, and it's negative, and all things are happening, if I can mount up with wings like eagles, I have the perspective to look down on the situation. I can say, this moment measured against next week, or tomorrow, or this moment measured against next year, or this moment measured against eternity, how would I look at it differently than when I'm sunk down into the middle of it? And right in the moment, all I feel is, not fair, this is wrong, I don't have to put up with this, I'm not going to deal with that, no. And what happens is, life gets reduced to a circle that's about 6 feet in diameter. When you're in a conflict situation, when you're in an intense situation, when things are happening that's assaulting your person and your self-worth and all these things, we have this expression. I was so mad I couldn't what? Couldn't see straight. You can't see straight and you can't see very far. All you can see is that object that's coming at me. But when you mount up with wings like eagles, you look at down on the situation and you're saying, come on. So, I'm mistreated. So, I don't get my way. So, I don't get to claim what's right and wrong. Will it matter to me next week? Will I be so absorbed with it next week? Set against the backdrop of eternity, I'm looking for my rights, and I'm looking for me to be treated right, whenever really I want to step back and say, but in all things, may God be glorified. Do I want me glorified, me lifted up, or do I want God? If that principle of you mount up like with wings like eagles, it will help us to not have earthly concerns, because my earthly concerns and my selfish concern are so absorbed in that 6-foot circle, I can't see anything else. But those who will wait on the Lord in that moment, He will come and He will lift you up. He will lift you up with the power. You know, the power to fly, we even do that on an aircraft. But He will raise you out of that death. He'll raise you up out of that death, and He will bring life where there is death, if you allow Him to do so. Now, when that happens, it's a miracle. And you get a front row seat to a miracle. You know, even when Jesus was arrested, and they arrested him, you guys want to see, well, you come and do a miracle for us. I want to see a first-hand thing from you. When we allow the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, to lift us up and see that perspective, everything changes. Everything changes. It's not an outside influence. It's an inside influence. It's not something we do, it's something the Spirit does. And there's not the kind of vile things that come from us, but what happens in that situation is the expression of God. Habakkuk looked on the horizon, and there stood the Assyrian army. What he felt was fear and dread. The Assyrian army was on the horizon looking down on this small little nation called Israel. And Assyria had a reputation of whooping up on anybody they wanted to encounter, and they did. And Habakkuk looked at the situation with dread and fear. And he also said, this ain't right, God. Now you know it ain't right. We may be bad, but we are not as bad as they are. And if you let them whoop upon us, how can that be just? And so he was in the middle of that. And you know what God did? He came and met with Habakkuk. That same Spirit that is in us, that power, that of the strength of power that raises the dead, it came to Habakkuk. That Spirit came to Habakkuk. And at the end of his letter, he writes, He made my feet like the feet of a deer, and caused me to walk where? In the high places. Why high places? Why not low places? High places, he gets the advantage to look down. And in God, he was lifted up. His feet were like the feet of the deer, and he traveled up high enough that he looked down on the situation. And when he looked from the perspective of God looking down, he saw it all differently. It changed. The Syrian army was still there. In fact, the Syrian army came on in on the Northern Empire. But he understood it differently, and it was transformed. So, Habakkuk found that perspective that only the Spirit can lift you up high enough out of the situation to be able to see. Isaiah, he said the Spirit will lift you up on wings like eagles. You just imagine how far the eagle sees and sees the horizon and sees all that's around. And with Paul, when he and Silas were beaten with a whip and put in a Philippian jail. The Spirit did what for them? It lifted them up to the heavenly places, and they were singing the praises of God in the middle of that. It'd be easy for them to stay in that 6-foot circle. God, we came here to preach the gospel to them. God, we were here for you. And now what you let us happen to us? And they beat us raw, and we're sitting in this jail. But the Spirit lifted them up. And Paul would write, we were counted worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ. Now, and he said he made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now the opportunity to have the feet of the deer, to get to the high place, the opportunity to be lifted up on wings of eagles, the opportunity to sit in heavenly places are not just for spiritual retreats. When you go somewhere and you don't have to wash dishes, you don't have to cook, you don't have to clean, you don't have to do anything, take care of the babies, and you're just there to fast and pray and do all these kind of things. That's not what we're talking about. When the Assyrian army was still on the horizon, Habakkuk went up the mountain with God. When life was at its toughest and things were pressing in and their back was laid open with the whip, the Spirit lifted them up. When Satan launches his most brutal attack, the Spirit is there to lift us up and see and understand that, you know, where we can reduce a situation to a flesh and blood argument or contention or whatever else, and the Spirit lifts us up and says, notice, your battle's not with flesh and blood. Your battle's with the powers and principalities of this present darkness. And when you step back, it's not that thing I'm angry with. It's just the spirit of darkness that stands behind it. I'm not wrestling with the mouthpiece. I'm wrestling with the Spirit. Such transformation can happen. We need to be treading the high mountain. We need to be lifted up with wings of eagles. The opportunity to sit in the heavenly places and see things from God's perspective, we need desperately. Through resurrection power that's in you, the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, you can walk with Habakkuk in high places. You can soar with Isaiah on wings of eagles. And you can sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. These contentious, struggling issues of life that come at us, many of them we run into because of our selfish desires. We create our own situation. But many of them are the onslaught of the devil. And when these things come, they seek to destroy us. But we are to be raised, lifted up, so that God will be honored, the devil will be defeated, and our selfish ways transformed. Paul prayed a prayer. He said, folks, you don't understand. You're out there digging with a pick and a shovel. And because you have faith, then the Comforter dwells in you right now, but needs to be set free to lift you up, to empower you. And so he prayed the prayer. And as I close, I want to pray his prayer for us. And I pray that it will be a prayer that will become your daily prayer. Let us pray. Father of glory, may you give me a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of you. May the eyes of my heart be enlightened to know the hope to which you have called me, a glorious inheritance with all the saints. May I know by experiencing daily, moment by moment, the immeasurable greatness of your power at work in me, which will raise me from death to life, which will allow me to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above every rule and every authority which you have put under your feet, so that, Father, you may be honored, the devil defeated, and my selfish ways be transformed. Amen.